Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But last week, we started our new sermon series all about missions. And one thing that our church believes in completely is missional work. This means to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And if you did not know, we have a mission wall right outside at the doors there. So if you walk right out of the sanctuary, right to your left, you're going to see this whole wall. And that has all of the missions that we actually do support there. And the one that's coming to speak next week, it's just a piece of paper that says, if you'd like to know more, come see me. Because we can't even put it out there for people to have. So I'd love for you to come and ask and see what else is going on out there. But we do our best to keep up with their letters and the other information that they send us. And one thing that our church has committed to since the beginning of the church is that we're going to give a minimum of 10% of all of its offerings and donations that are given here out to missions, to glorify God, to spread the gospel. And so every year we also have different missionaries that come in and speak about their work, and it's because mission-minded is very important. We all need to understand that the whole point is to go across the world and tell everybody about God. And this is not just something that missions are doing across the world too, but it's something we have to be doing as followers of Christ. As a follower of Christ, we are called to spread the gospel, to be missionaries right where God has us right now. And every single person who claims to be a follower of Christ, you have a mission. And that's where we're going to start today. And that comes from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. This is what it says. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age." So now I'm not going to do a major breakdown like I normally would, where I would just go through all the different words and what's really being said here. And the reason I'm not doing that is because the last series that we did right before this was called Now What? And I just had a whole sermon that was completely on these verses right here. So if you want to go into a much deeper depth and meaning into that, I would ask you, please go check out that sermon video. But what we have here is Jesus starts off with who he is. He says that he has all authority. This means that he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is God and he is in control. And what he's saying is, listen up, because what he's going to tell you is going to be very important. He's saying, I have all the power and I'm talking directly to you. And then Jesus said, I want you to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And then we get this promise. And he says, and I'm going to be with you always, to the very end of age. Now, this is called the Great Commission, or this is our mission as followers of Christ. And we have this thought process that missions are completely overseas. And so, yes, we do have missionaries that we support overseas, but we also have local missions. I was a missionary in Cleveland. That was my official title, was that I was the missionary going to Cleveland. And people were very confused, and they're like, well, how can you be a missionary if you're not leaving the United States? How can you be a missionary when you're going to a very popular city? And it's because what you're doing is you're spending your life to spread the gospel. You're saying, this is all what I'm doing. This is my job, my vocation, and I'm going out to those who are lost. And if you've ever been to Cleveland, they are hurting for Jesus Christ. So many churches have closed. There's no God that's in the schools or anywhere. It's all really, really, really rough out there. And so we decided to go be a mission out that way. And we have to understand, when Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, that includes ours. That includes us. It's not just out there. It's also right here today. And so that means it's in your backyard. That's with your neighbors. That's in all of Grove City. That's in all of Columbus. That's in all of Ohio. That's all of America as well. And then the whole world. And we luckily live in a place where we can spread the news of Jesus pretty freely. I know there can be some looks you get, and you may be called some names, and you get some pushback, but it's not illegal here. There's no inherent danger to your well-being where you're saying, I may die today by saying the name Jesus. And so we have this wonderful thing where we can walk around and spread the gospel. But one thing about missions is that some places are more hostile than others. So again, I want to point out that mission that's coming next week that will not be live streamed. You're going to hear the other side. And the point is not to make you feel bad. It's to inspire you. They're out there saying, I'm putting my life on the line here because I know how important it is to spread the news. And we should be saying, you know what? It is important. I see that as well. And I'm going to go out there and do the mission that Jesus has called us to do. So now you may be asking, what is the mission for this week? And who is the person that's the missionary that's going to speak? So I want to introduce the missionary that is going to be speaking today. And it is, it's me. Hi. So the mission for this week is called the Yucatan Peninsula Christian Mission. And like I said, I'm going to be the one that's talking about it, and that's because I'm actually a part of the mission there. I actually work for them, so I do all of the intake, the emails, I talk with the ministers, I plan the trips, I make sure everything is being communicated back and forth. I have been down almost half a dozen times, and so it's one of those things where I have a lot of experience in this, and it's definitely where my heart is. It's one of my missions is down there in the Yucatan, but also, obviously, my mission is here, okay? This is my mission that I do as well, and so YPCM is one of the missions that is supported right here at Buckeye from Buckeye. And so I'm here to share with you what the YPCM does in Mexico and exactly what this looks like. And so the YPCM, it exists to equip the local ministers to share the gospel with all who are lost. But on top of that, we have an extra thing that we do in our mission, and that is to bring God to the Maya people. So it's a select group of people that we definitely are trying to focus on. And there are some misconceptions about the Maya people. And first and foremost, the number one thing that is a misconception about these people is that they all died out. So it's the Maya people, they do exist, they're not dead, and if they were gone, then I have no clue who I'm talking to when I go down there. So they really do exist. And I think a lot of people get it confused where they think Aztec and Maya are all one because the Aztec civilization kind of has disbanded and we can't really find people that have been part of the Aztecs. But the Maya people, they are just the indigenous people of Mexico. And so they have a very long history in Mexico there. And as some know that the Maya people, they were conquered by the Spanish over about 500 years ago, and they tried very hard to convert these Maya people to Catholicism. But as we know, conquering people and killing them is not the greatest way to make true believers of Christ. And so what the Maya people did, they said, you're in our backyard, so when you come and you try to kill us and destroy us, they decided they were just going to go hide in the jungle. And so they had these giant cities that they just abandoned. So the Spanish, they knew they were coming, they destroyed that city over there, and so they'd say, oh, they're coming, and they just left. They all left, and the Spanish showed up and went, where is everyone? Okay. And so that's one of the things that happened, but that also meant that they spread out and they're living in the jungle. And the funny thing is they are still living in the jungle today. They are still living in a way that you may be saying, I can't believe people are actually living this way. And so what we get though with the Maya people is they believe in multiple gods and they also worship Mother Earth, Gaia. And sometimes what happens is they mix things like the Mother Earth with the Catholic religion. And so, well, Mother Earth gave birth to Jesus. And you're like, no, that's weird and wrong. No, that's not. Let me teach you a little bit about it. But what we're finding is most of them are an unreached population. Nobody goes out there, nobody wants to talk to them, and they have their own close-knit communities, and it's because their language is actually becoming a dead language. Their children are deciding they don't want to be a part of the Maya culture, they don't want to speak in the Maya language. They say, no, we're going to go and we're going to speak Spanish and adopt other cultures. And so what we have are these communities of Maya people where they're trying to preserve what their culture is and things that are happening. And so there are also very many people that live out there that are not Mayan, which are the Mexican people, and so we also have them as our mission field. But one thing that's very unique about the mission that we support with the ministers there is that in the Yucatan, all we do is we focus completely on the ministers. We're not the ones that are sending money or people to go and preach to the Maya. No, we equip the people there to do that. We are the ones that are sending them, and we're giving them the means and the how to go out and touch the people that they know and give the good news. And so all the money that is donated to the YPCM, most of it goes to the ministers themselves so they can dedicate themselves to this work. And so how do we do this? Well, the first thing that we do is we raise support here in America. And this is so we have the funds to pay all the ministers and all the other things that we have going on there. But also we have 7 ministers across the Yucatan that are trying to build churches and make a difference there. And so we are currently raising up new leaders as well. And to raise up new leaders, we believe in giving these men the opportunity to get their degree from an accredited school called Collegio Biblico. And so what's awesome about that is they actually have this opportunity to take these courses to get a degree to be a minister. And it's something that we pay for their classes and their books. And you may be thinking, how expensive is it to send somebody to college? It's like $500 a year to send them to this college. And then they asked us, well, can you pay for our books? And we're like, sure, how much are you talking here? And they're like, $200. And I'm like, wait, you can do a whole year of college for $700? That's amazing, okay? Yes, we will support that completely to give you the means to go out and do that. And so I also want to say when it comes to that, it's not an easy feat. It's something that they have to work very hard on to do because a lot of them do not have online. So it's not that they're doing online courses from afar. A lot of them have to do homework that is just something that was given to them in person and then they meet up later. But the one thing that they do is they have the college come down and they do a week long where 10 hours a day they are studying for a week. That's what they do. They said, I'm going to commit to this learning, to trying to understand how to grow in my understanding of the Bible and God and give the message. And so they are all in for Christ. And it's an amazing thing to see. And this is because they need to make sure that they are equipped for the work. Now, something else that they do is most of the ministers also have another job. And the reason that they have another job is because when you work in Mexico, you are then eligible to have health care and other benefits. And so this way they can get certain things from the government to help them out with what they're doing. Some of them have like a lucrative, amazing construction business, and they're doing great. And then we have some other people that are out picking up wood and selling that on the side of the road because that's what they do as a job. And so we have this whole like different scenarios of everything that's going on. But I could talk for hours and hours and hours about everything that's going on there. But I want to focus on just a couple things. And so I want to talk about my man Juan Pablo. Can we go to the it was me. Yeah. So there's my man, Juan Pablo. And Juan Pablo lives in a smaller city, and it's called Satuta. And I remember I was like, okay, this is kind of a nice place, Juan. This is really nice. And he's like, yeah, we're up and coming. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, we have 2 roads now. Two, what? You got 2 roads? And I was like, wow, that's crazy. And so when they're talking about up and coming for them, it's just that they're getting some modern amenities. They're finally going to get a hospital. And I'm like, okay. And so they showed me where the hospital is. It's smaller than this building. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, this is your hospital? They have no gas stations whatsoever. And it's because when you look at the huts, people are living in those huts right there. So many are living this life in the up-and-coming city. And it's a crazy thought process that this is where people are living, and it's not even far from a Starbucks. And that's where Juan likes to serve. And so I want to show the inside of that one house. So this is the inside of one of the houses there. And so this is where they do everything. They do their cooking and they sleep. And so they actually hang their hammocks from one side to the other. And it was always funny to me when they said, hey, clean up your bed. You just take it off the hook. That's all you do. Oh, look, I made my bed. It's done. That's all good to go. And so they do everything in this one spot. And then they live off the land or they travel to the city on a bus and they try to make some money that way. And so you're sitting there going, wow, this is a crazy thought process. This is how people live. But Juan Pablo has been serving God in this area for many years, and his church has recently just taken off. It's just majorly blown up with people. So many people are just wanting to come from all over. And so when he started, it was just a few people in a very small building in that town that he was in. They outgrew that, and so then they went to like 20 to 30. They outgrew that, and then they ended up getting an old college that was in the town there. And so they had a couple different buildings that were run down that they were working through, and they could hold about 60, 70 people. And then they outgrew that. And they were like, well, what do we do now? Because there's nothing in this town even big enough to hold all of these people that want to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So they started a building program. And so let's go ahead and show. This is their new church building. So people are living in huts all around there. But from the support of Christians, Americans, and everybody else that says, we want to give a big enough building for people to worship God, this is what they were able to make. And guess what? Hundreds upon hundreds of people come from all over to be a part of this church. It can hold up to 300 people, and they've already had to have the doors open. And when I say doors, I don't mean like doors we have. We're talking like a 15, 20 foot door that's about this wide. They have two of them. And what they do is they open them to a patio and they place more chairs. They want to make sure that everybody will have a chance to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And God is blessing that church like crazy. There's baptisms, leaders, preachers. And like I said, they're coming from all over because they want to hear what's being said there. But we have to understand that Juan, he is the minister there. That's not his only church. He's actually running three churches. And he's going out and spreading the news to the Maya people. And that's where Juan's heart truly is with the Maya people who are out there living in the villages. And it's because he actually is part Maya and can speak it. And so what we have here, he has to live out the mission. And so we're going to talk about what that looks like from a biblical standpoint. We're going to turn to Romans 10. Romans 10, verses 9 through 15. Romans 10, 9 through 15. And this comes from Paul, and he's trying to encourage people to spread the good news of Christ. Verse 9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." And so we start off with a declaration of what it looks like to be a follower. If you declare it with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you accept it and believe it in your heart, because this is all a personal thing, all right? It's not about doing it out of fear. It's not because your family wants you to. It's not because you have nothing better to do with your life. No, it's completely saying, I know the truth, I know this is true, and I'm going to accept it. And so you're saying there's one true God, and he made me, and he loves me, and he loves me so much that while I was a sinner, while I was doing things wrong against God, he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. And then when you accept him in your heart, you get this freedom from your sin, and you get to have this amazing relationship with God. You can know him intimately. You can talk with him and he's listening. He'll always be with you. And then when we're done here on this earth, you'll get to be with him face to face. It's such an awesome and amazing thing to know that we have a God who personally loves us. And then we get to verse 12 and it says, this is for all. It says Jew and Gentile, meaning that the Jews and everyone else, we have the same God, the same salvation through Jesus Christ. But then we get to verses 14 and 15. This is saying, you who know the truth, you have something amazing. You know of the love of the Father, but not everyone does. And it says, how can they know who God is and know about God? How can they call on God? How can they talk to God? How can they go to him and even accept him when they have no clue that he exists? And they have no clue who he really is. And then we get this challenge from Paul, who wrote this. How can they hear the truth without someone preaching it to them? Meaning we have a job here to preach the truth, to share the truth. Now this scares some people away or may even say, you know what it says? To go and preach it. And you say, oh, that's not for me. I'm not a preacher. Not a big deal. You're wrong. Sorry, not sorry. It's not saying this is just for the Johns and ministers of the world. No, this is saying to everyone to go and share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, some are sent to strangers in strange land, but this also means that we are to keep sharing with our friends and family and right where we are planted. Because how can they call on God here? How can they believe in God if we're not sharing the truth with them? And then we get this picture that they paint for us. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Meaning, how amazing are you for answering the call and going? Saying, how blessed are you and how blessed are those that you're sharing with? How awesome is it that we are being obedient to God? And so this last time that I was down in the Yucatan, we got to literally where the road ends. It just dumped right out into the jungle. And we drove and we drove and we drove until we hit this small village called Wishambalam. And so this village is right at the end of the jungle. There is no path past it. That is as deep as you can go into the jungle. And this has been the new mission field for Juan. And so I'm going to have a video playing behind me. If you could play that video while I'm talking, make sure it's still muted. Otherwise, it's going to be a bunch of mumbling and you'll have no clue what's going on. But what we have here is we're talking to the mayor of the town. And so the mayor is the one in the straw hat and the blue shirt. And he was very nice, very welcoming, very kind. But I would have never guessed that he is one of the highest officials in that whole town there. And we were invited over to the man with no shirt. This is his home and his family. And he is a pillar in their community. And he has given his life to God because Juan has shared the news with him. And so he was hosting us there. And it was a really humbling experience because they shared what little food they had with us. And so what they did was there was this brown, sticky chunk that were there, and they gave us all this fork and said, eat, eat, eat. And so I was like, okay. And so I stabbed it, and I'm like, it smells good. And I tasted it, and it was actually, they made candied yams from their garden. They went and did it all themselves, and I was like, this is fantastic. It was like eating dessert, and then they poured us all some Coca-Cola because, you know, it's even more available than water in most places and cheaper. So we had our candied yams and our Coke, and we were just sitting there together, and we're having this surreal experience because we just couldn't believe this is where we were and what's going on here with all these people. But we were sitting and talking with them, and they told us about how God had changed their lives. And I remember asking him for that recording. I said, is it okay if I record, you know, you guys for us to have and to show and talk about and your family? Are you all right with this? And I remember he got really serious and he put his hand on my shoulder and kind of leaned in. And I'm not going to lie, I was super nervous. And he said to me, really serious, anything to spread the good news of God. Anything. If that's what you need to do, if it's going to glorify God. Sure, go ahead. It was moving. It was amazing. It was humbling. But as we left there and we traveled away from this town with Juan Pablo, he started telling some stories of bringing the good news of Jesus to these people. And he said, as he drives on these messed up roads, and he just sees these different entry points that lead to people's houses. So it's just like this pathway. It's kind of what we would call like a driveway. That's where they, these are their driveways. I'm like, That's not, you can't get a car on that. That's not how that works. And they're like, well, this is how they get into their home and these are their paths. And so he would pull up from the jungle, see a path and pull over and he would walk up their path and he would announce himself and he would say, hey, you know, can we talk? I'd love to talk to you about some things. And those that accepted him in to talk, Juan would then spread the news one by one as he traveled from house to house to town. And then he said the one day though, he was driving and some people started chasing him. And so I'm going to tell you right now, this can be a scary thing because not everyone is friendly. Not everybody wants to hear the good news. And this is biblical. This is something that we're going to read right here in Romans 10, 16 to 18. So the next verses from what we just read, Romans 10, 16 to 18, it says, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. What that's saying is, not everyone wants to hear it, even after they're told. So even the Israelites that were waiting for the Savior, they were waiting for the Messiah, they know that He is to come, that He's going to be here, they still didn't want to hear the truth that Jesus has come. And so when we look at this and people are saying, oh, I don't really want to go out and spread the news because not everybody's accepting, we get really nervous. We're afraid of what people are going to do. Are they going to hurt us? Are they going to hate us for sharing the gospel? But we have to answer the call as Christians. It comes down to that we have to respond to what God wants us to do. If He says go, you need to go. Answer the call no matter what happens, and you're going to find yourself blessed. So Juan had these people that were chasing him, And we have had some people, other ministers that are part of our ministry, that have been threatened and chased out of town. So what happens is these people are chasing Juan, and naturally Juan is curious about what's going on. And he stops, and he said it's because he felt like the people didn't look angry to him. And I'm like, people are chasing your car, and you're looking in a rearview mirror. How could you tell? Like, that's a really risky game you're playing. So he stopped, and he said, hey, what's up? How can I help you? And they asked him straight to his face, are you the one that's been stopping at houses and talking about God? And he answered them with complete truth. Because he could have said, well, who's asking? What's your purpose for asking these things? You know, oh, like, is there something I can do for you? Yeah. No, he just flat out said to them, yeah, that's me. I'm the one that's been going around. And this is how they answered him then. They said, when are you going to come to talk to me and my family about this God? They literally chased his car down because they wanted to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You have to answer the call. And Juan answered that call. And so did all the other ministers of the YPCM. Like I said, I could sit here for hours and tell story after story of people's lives being changed, all because a few men said, yeah, I'm going to serve God. Now, this is just a drop in the ocean of lives changed at the YPCM. Now, there are so many missions that are out there, and I thank God that there are so many different missions in this world, but I'm coming as a representative for the work being done in the Yucatan. And right now, we have multiple ways that you can give and support the mission. And the first is the best one. The first is the one that I want all of you to do, every single one of you. I need you to pray. I need you to pray for the ministers. I need you to pray for the work. Pray for those who are in America as we try to help and support the work that's being done down there. Pray that people are seeking God with their whole hearts and that they're going to be open to the truth of God. Prayer is powerful and real, and so I'm asking all of you, pray for this mission. Another way to help is by giving financially. We partner with many churches and individuals, and if you feel that God is putting it on your heart to support this mission financially, you can give on the app. We have a drop down in the giving specifically for the YPCM to help out the mission in general, or you can give a check and make it out to the YPCM. You don't have to do the full name on there and try to figure out how to spell it all. So YPCM is enough to make that work. And if you want more information, please come talk to me afterwards. I'd love to talk to you, and I will talk to you a lot about what's going on. And then we do have a special fund that has been started recently, specifically for Juan. And that's because Juan's car has recently died. I talked about how he travels out through the jungles and does all that. Well, now he's having trouble doing it. He's actually having to pay for rides or borrow vehicles or do what he can to go out there and spread the news. So right now we're looking to raise $5,000 to help him get a new reliable car. I want to give specifically for Juan's car. You can put on your memo of your check for Juan, or if you're going to give online, there's a spot for that as well to give directly to that. But as always, I have to leave us with a challenge. And so my challenge this week is this. You have a mission. You have a calling. Spread the good news where God is calling you. Tell everyone about Jesus. Tell them about the freedom that you have. Show them that God loves them so much, just as you have been told to do. We are the church. We are missionaries in this land, and we will never stop until everyone hears the great news of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.